Hello, witches. This is Kara Kovacs, and this is Business Witch. As a third-generation witch, at least, and a business and life coach for mission-driven entrepreneurs and leaders, I teach you how to make money and magic as liberatory practices. Because when we know, seek, and embrace our full potential, we create a better world for everyone. Here you'll find tools, conversations, spells, and inspiration that take you from waiting to creating so you can build the business and life you're oh so worthy and capable of having. Let's go. Hello, soulpreneur. I have another incredible free masterclass series coming your way. Over the course of 3 days, you can attend Soulful Scaling for feminist coaches and healers who want to reach six figures ethically. No burnout, no gimmicks. I am so excited because in this series, you are going to learn the mindset that's keeping you stuck at inconsistent income, what thoughts, beliefs, practices, and rituals will help you promote the parts of the business that you most need to succeed. The simple solutions to optimizing your business practices, the ethical business sales and marketing techniques that have helped me sell over $1 million in one-on-one coaching with sliding scale, low and high ticket offers, how to leverage your business as an extension of your activism, the secret to embodying that your success is a gift to the world and don't you forget it, and how investing in your community is key to sustainable income and long-term success. We're going to be meeting in the Zoom room, three 90-minute workshops, opportunities for live coaching with me, and the opportunity to learn more about Business Witch, the course, the program that goes with this podcast. You want to learn about Business Witch. It is going to revolutionize your business. So you can sign up at the link that is in the show notes, or you can head to karakovacs.com/links, and Soulful Scaling will be that first link that you see straight at the top. I cannot wait to see you inside. If you have never taken a masterclass series with me before, I am super excited for you. We have so much fun. See you there. Hello, witches, and welcome to another episode of Business Witch. I am joined today by the highly caffeinated copy CEO, Stephanie White of By The Way Creative. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very excited to be here.
I know that people are going to get a lot out of your magic and what it is that you do, but share with the people a little bit about your work and your story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I can't believe this, but we've actually been doing this for 7 years now, which is crazy. I started off as a freelance copywriter. I had had a marketing job in corporate, the classic corporate burnout story that we've all been through. And I stumbled upon the world of female entrepreneurs completely by accident about 7 years ago. And essentially since then, I've built a copywriting agency specializing in helping female founders, particularly service providers and coaching CEOs, to not just create conversions through sales copy, but build really, as we call them, kick-ass communities of clients. And I'm really fortunate to still be doing that all this time later.
Yes, I love that. And I like that you use the word community, because something I'm always coaching people on, people are like, I don't even have an offer yet. What can I be doing for my business? Or I'm like 5 years in, but I want to double my revenue. What can I be doing for my business? And it's always the same answer. It's building that community of people who will eventually become clients. Because sometimes I meet people and I don't choose to work with them for 3 years. So you want to hold that like relationship building ethos. And I think that copy is a way to do that, but that people don't think about it that way enough, that what you're actually doing is creating community. So let's talk a little bit about that first. Like when you say that you're creating client communities, what do you really mean by that?
Yeah, and I love that question. It's a really good question. Essentially, conversion copy only works if there are people to read it, right? If there are individuals who are connecting with those words and therefore taking an action based off the back of it. What I see a lot of entrepreneurs stressing about is not making sales. And it's not because, I know we're going to talk about offers today, but it's not because they have a bad offer or they don't have anything to offer. It's that they haven't fostered this community that can even connect with the wording. And it's kind of a rhythmic cycle. You build a community, they feed back to you what they love, what they loathe, what they're struggling with, what they need you for. You produce offers, you market those in a way that speaks exactly to them in the way they told you they needed it. that further builds a community that feels heard and seen by you. So it's this kind of ecosystem that we build through copy, but we have to have started connecting with people, having conversations, and finding the words from them before we can sell to them in a kind of community fashion.
What you're making me think of is the changes that we've seen in the industry in the last couple of years, which is, it actually changed my one-on-one practice, because there was a time where I think communities were easier to build because the algorithm was different. So like your content was being shown to more of your users. People were using social media in a different way. And I had a lot of clients who were coming to me who were selling offers with like very simple landing pages, no ad spend, and just sort of a generalized offer. And then as the market became more sophisticated, they noticed a dip in their sales and felt like they internalized like they were doing something wrong. And then the difference in my coaching as a one-on-one coach went from like a lot of mindset and strategy to actually looking at the copy and being like, this is totally general. It's not going to convert anybody. And so a lot of my clients call me the copy dom, because
I love that.
I mean, I go into like their nurture sequences and their sales pages and they get them back and pretty much like everything is deleted. And I'm kind of quippy with my notes. My notes are just like, be more specific, not this. Like they're very, you know, like little whip snaps. But
sometimes we need that. We need it.
I think that it's actually a great way to look at the market of like, you can still make money in this industry, but your way of reaching your people needs to become more sophisticated, and not in any kind of a manipulative way, but in a way that shows, demonstrates that you're really listening to them and you've really shifted what it is that you're doing within the business to meet their needs in a way that other people can't, which is why people should buy from you. And copy is the best way to indicate that. And so I'm curious from your perspective, you know I can speak to my own clients and some of the sales pages that I edit, but what are the mistakes that people are making or the things that people are missing or maybe not even considering that are creating that gap in how they think their offers are being perceived? And then when they're not purchased, that feeling of like, oh my God, is this going to work? How am I going to get people to buy my stuff?
Yeah. And I love that you said that the industry has changed, because actually that's a huge part of it. So when people are like blaming themselves or thinking they're doing something wrong, you were never doing anything wrong. You're not doing something wrong now. It's just about adapting and changing. So one of the biggest things that I come across is, and it comes from a place slightly of fear. So if you are one of those people listening that is worrying that they're not making enough sales, this is probably your biggest problem, is we think, right, I'm not making enough sales because this program isn't speaking to enough people. So I need this program or this offer to speak to more people. So what we do is we go into our copy, we look at our program and we go, okay, so there's all the first, you know, the primary gains of this program. They're gonna get this thing that I promised, this mindset thing, this strategy thing or whatever. But when I've done this program before, people have also had this secondary gain and this secondary gain. And we start trying to throw all of those potential results and all of those potential met desires into our sales copy to kind of go, oh my God, anybody who's reading this, I can totally help you. And this program's going to fix literally everything. We're going to do strategy. We're going to do mindset. We're going to do all these things. It's going to be amazing. I'm going to transform your life. And we promise people this huge elephant that they just don't have space for, right? It's not. Seeing that giant ball in front of them isn't making them want to jump out and grab it. What we actually want is to see little tangible tick boxes that we can go, yep, that is definitely me. And the solution to that is included in this program. Yep, I can see myself in that pain point. She's got a 7-point strategy that's going to help me with that. We want to break down that elephant into like Ella chunks, if you will, and show people the individual pain points we're going to fix rather than this, I can sell you the fix-all miracle cure.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard it described in that way, but that feels very much like create your dream life, like in my 3-month package thing that was being sold in like 2018 and people were buying into that. And now it is like, That's the thing that I see the most in sales pages too, is this isn't specific. You're saying, I'm going to fix your mindset, but you're not saying how. Like, imagine having better work-life balance or less pain. And it's like, you can say that, but what do you actually mean by that? And like, we all want better work-life balance. How do I know you're talking specifically to my type of work-life balance or my type of pain? And some of my clients are listening to this being like, she's talking about my sales page. Now, like, yes, I am talking about your sales page right now. But I also like struggle with that in my own copy. You know, I think I have two main offers, my one-on-one practice and then Business Witch, the course, which teaches more new stage entrepreneurs how to build the systems that scale their businesses. And even the distinction between, okay, like this one-on-one offer is for a very different client archetype than Business Witch is. And like creating relationships in a different way, because one is a lower ticket offer and the other is a higher ticket offer. I think those require really different approaches. And I'm curious if you can speak to that.
Yeah, 100%. They massively do. And you kind of touched on it by saying avatar there. That's kind of where you want to start, is overall as a coach or overall as a service provider, you solve one massive problem. So let's say that one massive problem that I solve for coaches is that they don't feel able to write copy that's going to convert. How I do that for the different avatars that I work with is completely different. So that's where I would start, is you have your overarching promise. And then underneath you have offers, and your offers scale. You have free offers, you have $27 offers, you have courses, you have group programs, you have one-to-one. I want you to imagine those like going left to right on a page with your big promise above the top. And I want you to draw a timeline underneath those offers, because you have experienced most likely the transformation that you are offering. You've experienced the problem and found the solution, exactly how you're going to offer it to your client. But you in year one solving that problem looks very different to you in year seven solving that problem, right? And your one-to-one offer isn't for somebody in their first year of business, most likely in most cases, it's for someone more advanced. So having those offers left to right and your timeline underneath, you should be able to pin the pain points and the solution that you needed to each of your offers. You can drill down to that even further and produce something called an offer story. Like I just said, you can't promise people the whole world, like, oh, you're going to get all of this stuff. You want to tell the story of the part in your journey where you solve this very small part of the big picture. So if it's a free offer, you gave the example of mindset earlier, like, I'm going to fix your mindset. My big thing is I fix mindset. In my free offer, I can't fix someone's mindset if I was a mindset coach, but I can probably get them to do one thing. So maybe it's, I can help them get over Monday morning procrastination. So that's it. That's all I'm offering there. And you talk about my very simple 5-minute process that breaks Monday morning procrastination, all the way up to your one-to-one offer, where there was a time in my business that I couldn't show up on podcasts or guest coach live. And all I wanted was to increase my publicity. I thought I didn't have the right strategy, or I hadn't written the right script yet, but what was actually wrong is my mindset was holding me back. That's a much more complex, deeper scenario that now resonates with a one-to-one client. You would pay 4 figures to solve that problem. You're not going to pay 4 figures to solve your Monday morning procrastination issue.
Yes. I love this. Give the people homework assignments. Yeah. I'm sure that I also am thinking of my clients who are like taking out a piece of paper and writing down like the mapped out journey. But I want to ground this in language that I think my people can resonate with, because something I've spoken out a lot about is how I don't like the idea of pain point marketing, because the word implies that like somebody has a bruise and you're like taking a stick and you're poking their bruise. And so I like to give people a mindset shift around that, which is like, instead of poking a bruise, you're applying the salve that will help heal that thing that hurts, like to bring empathy and compassion into that space. And so I want to just invite people, one, to think about it like that. If the idea of pain point makes them feel like, oh, I don't want to be exploiting somebody's pain and then selling to it, that what you're actually doing instead is like medicating it. And then the second thing that I want to offer people is to be more specific in their client journeys, because I see so many people who are like, oh my God, I love this modality. Maybe it's like some kind of ancestral healing work that you've been gifted to teach, or astrology, or you are really great at helping people with human design, or you work specifically with a kind of chronic pain. Like there's some kind of modality that you absolutely love to teach, that you know helps people, that you started a business because you know you can help people with that modality. But then instead of really getting specific about who that modality is for and how it serves them, you go very general because you actually think that it's going to be easier to sell to people if you're speaking to everyone. And I see this in my clients' copy like far too often. It's like they're saying things like early stage entrepreneur, as opposed to like someone in their first year of business who's really trying to get their systems up. Like those are two different communities of people that you're talking to. And what I loved about that assignment that you gave is in order to even be able to do it, you need to get so specific. And I think that what people internalize when they hear like you need a niche is come up with somebody specific enough to direct all your marketing to so that it's easier to sell. And then that niche is not actually like an authentic pick. It's something they're doing because they think that they can market to them, or they try to sell to everyone because they think that it will be easier, but then they're selling to no one. And I'd love to support people who are listening to that and being like, yeah, one of those two people has been me, and understanding what we really mean when we tell people to speak to their ideal customer and like really empathize with their journey and really reflect that in the copy. Any guidance that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. And we can actually start with that flip on pain points that you brought up. The only time we ever want to use pain points is to let somebody know that we understand where they're at. But if we flip our mindset on this and think more about it in terms of a symptom checker, so your ideal client, the person that you want to speak to, will display these symptoms. And especially with modalities like astrology, NLP, Reiki, anything like that, if they are displaying these symptoms, you are then able to qualify and quantify the offer that you have in terms of how it addresses each of these symptoms. So we can get really, really specific, because when we say pain point, we think like a general emotion, like lack of confidence or confused about strategy. Those aren't very niched in, like you say, they can be super, super vague. But when I say symptom checker, and you think of yourself like a doctor who is prescribing your offer as the fix for that person, a symptom needs to be very specific. It shows up at a certain time. For each person, it displays itself in maybe a varied number of ways. It has probably gone on for a particular amount of time. And then we get all of these little specifying, quantifying things that we can add onto those generic pain points by turning them into a symptom that we can literally tell them at what point in their day, their journey, their body, this particular thing is showing up and how our offer answers to that. So that specificity and that niching down actually comes from thinking about a person as a breakdown of the individual things that they experience, not this like whole big pain point marketing where I use a nice big brush and just tar you with that. We niche by picking out these symptoms per where they are in their journey.
I think people are really going to need to listen to this one multiple times. Copy is like the biggest thing that I see with my clients where I'm like, you do have an incredible offer, but the way that you're talking about it, nobody is going to buy it. That's why your business exists. Am I right?
100%. And exactly the same, like we were talking before we started recording about how I do copy coaching and loads of different programs. And it doesn't matter whose program I'm in or at what stage the entrepreneurs are, these issues around specificity, fear around niching down, they come up. So if you can get it handled now at whatever stage you're at in your journey and have these tools and techniques to move past it, it's something that's only going to grow with you and that you can keep doing, whether you're at, you know, first 6 months in business or you're 6 years and six figures in, this is going to keep coming up and you're going to have to keep addressing it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think too, I just want to offer people, you can always change the niche. Like, you may start with a specific kind of, like, you do human design readings for everybody. And then the longer you do human design readings, you're like, no, I want to do human design entrepreneur coaching or whatever. And then the niche changes. And I want to give people a blanket permission slip to like always pivot, to always change. But it doesn't mean that the marketing specificity changes. The marketing may change, but the specificity around the client journey, which for many people also who are like in business, which the course who are listening to this, you may not have figured out that specificity yet because you're not talking to enough of your clients. So like we have a copywriting module in Business Switch that talks about specificity. And then I'll get people who come to our office hours, which happen twice a week, where people can come get direct coaching from me. And they'll come in and they'll have a kind of like specific example that is actually like too specific, where it's like, oh, you made up an anecdotal story about a pretend person of like what, you know, they got into an argument at work. Have you ever gotten into an argument at work where somebody said this to you and then you were thinking about it all day? And it's like, that example is actually too specific. And it's not rooted in being in relationship with your clients. It's rooted in you trying to know something you can't know because you haven't worked with enough people. So as people are cultivating a brand voice, as they're starting to learn about their clients, like what really would you recommend that they be looking for or taking note of that they can then either transform into copy or maybe hand off to somebody like yourself if they're just like, I love being a healer, but I don't want to be a copywriter?
Okay, great question. I love this. And I would say it's about like word groups is where you can start. So to not overwhelm yourself, we just start with word groups. And there's three word groups in terms of getting your brand voice nailed down that I would start with. One is groups of words that describe the before of your client. So we call it pain points, we can call it symptoms, we can call it whatever we want to call it, but the state that they find themselves in before working with you. The second group I want you to look at is desires. I'm going to give a really specific example in a minute actually to show how this works, but the desires that they have. So what adjectives describe where they want to be, i.e. the after of that picture, once they've worked with you, where do they specifically say they want to be? You can see this on social media. You do not have to have had conversations with people. I would recommend you do some free market research calls, offer people a Starbucks voucher or whatever. You can use things like TikTok, Answer the Public, Quora, Ask ChatGPT, whatever. You know, you can start gathering these words. And the third group, which is actually super important, is words that you are never going to use, words you hate, words that other people in your niche are using and you don't like. It's so important that we have that and we stay really grounded in that, because trends will come and go. And if we find that we are victim to trends and we use those in our copy, we're going to dilute our brand tone of voice so much. I found a couple of years ago, everyone using authentic, to the point where it didn't make any sense anymore to use it.
I know, I hate authentic too.
Yeah, it's just one of those, it just gives me the ick. I'm like, we could say this so much better, let's use a different word. The example I give to people about why these tiny word groups can totally transform your copy into something that resonates or really doesn't is, we had a client who was in coaching for corporate leaders, female leaders, who were really struggling with things like anxiety in the boardroom, getting passed over for stuff because they had male counterparts that were more willing to put their hand in the pie kind of thing. And she'd been out of corporate for a while. We produced some copy for her and she said, the women that I work with, they find themselves really overwhelmed and that's the biggest thing they're feeling. So we pinned the copy around this feeling of being overwhelmed by all the responsibilities of trying to be a woman in corporate. Not only are you overthinking everything you wear every day, but also how you speak. Is your voice too high pitched? How you present yourself? Am I being too masculine, etc.? Sounds overwhelming. So we used that word. And the first time we ran this email sequence, it just did not perform. She had a good audience. She had a good offer. I was like, something is wrong in the copy. There is one thing that is wrong. We went back to the drawing board. We conducted some market research calls with her actual clients. Women in corporate at that time were not using the word overwhelm. It was an online entrepreneur coach word that had massively taken off. We see it everywhere still now. In the corporate world, they don't use overwhelm. They were still saying things like stressed and overstretched, which have been bred out of the online coach world because we just don't use words like that. They make people feel uncomfortable. But they are still, or at the time, were still prevalent in the corporate world. We've made that small switch from overwhelmed to like stressed out completely transformed both the open and click-through rates on the email sequence.
That is fascinating. It's making me want to do a bunch of A and B testing of like, what the? Okay, I want to get vulnerable about my experience having people write my copy. Because I'm like, I think it's good to go here. Okay.
Please do. Let's go. Let's get in.
So I have had maybe three different times that I've hired out. And I've never actually had the intention to hire out for my copy. It's come as part of a package of services I've bought. So I like worked with a launch manager and it came with a copywriter, or I worked with a marketing company and it came with a copywriter. And I'm always like, listen, I say it on the client call, like in the onboarding call, I know that I'm going to edit the copy to the point that it's unrecognizable from what you originally sent to me. Call it my Mercury in Virgo. Like, I am so specific about my voice and I just feel like people can't capture it. But I've been learning something, you know, now having hired out to have a lot of my Instagram captions made, and then I just keep completely rewriting them so that they're basically not like I'm still doing this thing. But what I've learned is like, maybe I need to get more specific. Like, if people who are on a Zoom call, recording the Zoom call to take notes based off of what I said, and I still feel like what they're writing and they are experts in their field does not reflect my brand voice. Is there something that is unclear in my brand voice, or am I just being a persnickety Virgo? I don't really know. So I wanted to bring this into the call. One, obviously selfish pursuits, curious your opinion. But two, because for people who are like, I don't think people can sound like me. And I've talked to a lot of professionals that really strongly feel that way. I'm curious what you would say.
Yeah. Okay. In your case, I think it's 50-50, right? Super successful and you have a really great understanding of marketing. Okay. So there's always going to be a part of you that's like, this could be sharper. This could be better. You're an editor by nature. You do that in all different areas of your business, not just for yourself, but for your clients too. So there's always going to be that element of you that wants to tweak and wants to edit. And I think giving yourself a bit of grace that that's part of your creative license and you might want to do that is totally fine. But then there's the other side of it where it's kind of getting in the way of maybe things that you want to get done. So you're like, hey, how can I make this feel more specific? The easiest way is probably not through speech, but actually finding an example of a piece of copy that you've already written, maybe a blog post or website copy, something longer form that you are like, this is so me. This is my favorite thing that I have ever written. It's literally shit hot. I love it. For one, use that as an example that you hand off to a secondary service provider of any kind. But two, cheat. You can use ChatGPT for this. I used to do it manually, RIP to many, many hours of my time. Copy and paste that piece of copy into ChatGPT and ask it a couple of questions. First of all, ask it for the most commonly repeated adjectives, okay? Adjectives are one of the biggest things that dictate our brand voice, followed by the verbs we use to describe the transformation. So we use an adjective to describe states, how people feel before and after, and then we use verbs to describe how we personally walk them through, sprint them through, carry them through, handhold them through their transformation. So those are two really key things to ask it. And then also to ask it to distill your tone of voice into three words and see what it spits out. You are going to get a gut reaction to those three words, like, yes, conversational, or you're going to read it and go, colloquial, no, I don't want to sound like that. Or it says professional and you're like, gross. And another one says, another time it says eloquent. You're like, yes, I love eloquent. It's a little like cat and mouse game that you're going to play with yourself of like, feels good, doesn't feel good. That is the only way you're going to be able to say to somebody else, here is a bunch of words that if you use, I won't throw up. They're all safe.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's really emotional. I appreciate you. And I mean, I know that you know this from your work, but yeah, having somebody speak the magic of what you do is very emotional. I have cried over coffee before. I'm sure you've experienced that in your own work.
Yeah. Actually, funny that we're even having this conversation because I was coaching a copywriter today. One of the sides of my business is helping other copywriters to like move through this kind of thing. And she'd messaged me like, I have a difficult client. I was like, okay, tell me about the difficult client. And essentially, the client had said, this doesn't sound like me. And I went back to the copywriter. I was like, I'm going to promise you right now that it's not all of the copy doesn't sound like her. There is something in there that you've said, and you said it more than once, that doesn't resonate with her. And what we've got to find out is what that is. It actually turned out to be the word permanent. Once we dug into something, she does, this client of hers does spiritual work, and the word permanent or permanence doesn't feature in the spiritual realm, although she had said it on her onboarding call.
Yes, yes.
It happens. We all do it. We all say things that we then go, I never want to be associated with that word ever again.
Yes. No, that's exactly. Oh my God, you're speaking. So I'm like, are you talking to the person who's working for me?
No.
No, and also it's not the word permanent, but it's like this subtlety or this nuance. And I'm so, because people are going to get a lot out of this, I think, too, of like, they write something and they feel proud of it. And then I look at it and I rip it to like little smithereens, like on the client side, when they're like, here's my sales page. And I'm like, nobody would read this and be like, this person is talking to me. And it's like, you spent hours writing that. But then the way that it's being received, and I think that that makes people feel some resistance sometimes to actually like sitting down and doing the thing, in which case maybe they should hire you and save themselves the trouble, but of like really getting to that kind of specificity. And I just want to also acknowledge, like, I feel that it's so easy to see it when you read somebody else's thing. But then when you go to write your own, it's like a totally different experience. The thing that I kept seeing in my copy is like, you can be a good person and you also want to make money. And I'm like, that's not what I'm trying to tell people. Like, yes, I think that that should be inherently obvious. And some of my clients, because they're feminist and progressive, they come to me and they're like, if I charge more, are people gonna like that I want to help not be able to afford my services? That is a symptom that some of my clients have. But it is by no means like why I want to coach progressives. And it's not the like most important thing, but I'm sure I said it in my onboarding call. And then it was like every single piece of copy was about that. And I was like, no, 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 no.
Yeah. In reality, it's an Instagram caption that you're going to post once and have a conversation about on stories. It's not the pivot point of what you offer. But to someone else hearing it, they might go, oh my God,
that's it.
Fired. And they're like, yeah, they might jump on it. So yeah, it's you having that clarity of like, not everything I say is gold dust, but some of the things I say have a place. And I just have to figure out for myself where that place is for them.
Okay. So the last thing I kind of want to cover is that difference in speaking to that freebie. Like, you're writing the opt-in for your newsletter and you're like, all right, I want these people to download a free meditation or a thing of journal prompts, versus I want this specific kind of person who I'm going to be working with intimately for the next 6 months and is going to get access to text me whenever they want to buy this five-figure offer. I imagine that those are two totally different marketing strategies. And you gave us that exercise of walking through the symptoms for each and the client journey for each. But I'd love to just get tips on when you sit down to actually create something like that, like what's the perspective you should be taking from one versus the other?
Yeah, this is a great question. Am I allowed to swear?
Obviously, yes, please.
Great, cool. Okay. So when we are producing these different things, there's two questions / two kind of things I want us to have in mind. Download this meditation so that, okay? So that. Work with me one-to-one so that. Straight away, that's going to tell you how big the transformation is. So download this meditation so that you can sleep better tonight, versus work with me 6 months one-to-one so that you can grow your business from multi-six to seven figures. Bigger promise, right? Next thing we're going to do is the what I call the so fucking what exercise. If there was a Guinness World Book of Records award for how many times somebody said so fucking what in their life, I'd win. For sure, hands down. And that is for the individual elements that are included in each of your offers. So if we start with like a meditation, that is one thing. That is a audio, 30 minute, 60 minute, whatever, that they can listen to in their own time. So fucking what? Sometimes we have this issue when we're traveling. Sometimes we have this issue when we're doing this or whatever. So fucking what? It's a meditation because I've made it an access anytime meditation for this reason. It's just one thing. Now we scale that up. Let's say we're talking about a course. So a course has multiple modules. Sign up for this course so that you can have this transformation. Inside this course, you will find you're going to list out the modules. So fucking what? What is each module helping them to do? What is each module breaking down for them? At the end of the day, it's just a course. So that's what we're going to be breaking down. We scale this up into a group program. Sign up for this 12-week immersive group program for female entrepreneurs in their first year in business so that, tell them what they're going to achieve. And then so fucking what? In a group program, you probably have Q&A calls. Maybe you have monthly guest experts. Maybe they have a Slack channel. Perhaps they can communicate with each other. Maybe they have accountability calls. So fucking what? Why have you included each of those things? How does it come back to the so that of the program? And then the same again for one-to-one, where you're going even deeper with somebody. In this case, the stuff you want to so fucking what is the modalities you're going to use with them. Why is it 6 months? Why do you use EFT? Why is ch energetics or channeling past lives part of what you do? So fucking what for every single one? What you will notice is that's like a scale, right? We started with the freebie, there's only one or two things that you might need to so fucking what, all the way down to your one-to-one offer, where you have to clarify and be more specific about what's included and why. You cannot demand a big price point for something that you haven't quantified or clarified why those things are in there and why they're worth anything to the client. They can't imagine, oh, NLP. Obviously, that's what I need. They don't know. They don't know. You have to explain that to them. So that's the really, really big difference. Instead of just presenting somebody at whatever stage of the offer it is with, I do this. Why? Why have you included it? Why do you care? Because if you care, it's worth more.
That's so good. And I can't tell you how often that comes up. I think that we're recording this at the end of April. It'll come out in May, but I'm gonna like literally send the recording when we get off of this call to some of my one-on-one clients, which is, this is a pitch to work with me one-on-one. You could have gotten access to this before it got published because I have clients right now writing sales pages. And I'm looking at the sales page and it's like, learn this modality. And the note on the document is like, nobody knows what this is.
Why?
Nobody is going to buy this like $5,000 thing to learn this modality that they're not connecting to their problem. And I think people get super focused on like, you get 6 sessions, you get these like specific things, but not what they do for you. And people need to feel the possibility of the transformation of the work when they read the page, or they have no reason to even give you the time it would take them to fill out an inquiry.
Yeah, 100%. You said at the beginning of this that people don't have rubbish offers. You sat and painstakingly put an offer together and you thought heart and soul about what needed to be included. And then you write a sales page that doesn't fucking tell anybody why you included all those things that you lost sleep over, you burnt pages in your notebook about, like you took so long to create this incredible, amazing offer and then missed out on telling people about half of the stuff that was included in it, because like you say, people are fixated on this kind of like the numerical weight. It's 6 60-minute calls.
Yeah, like I don't care about that.
Most people don't. Most people buying your program don't give a shit how many calls there are or guest experts or modules. They do not care. They want to see that you have a level of understanding of the problem at hand, that therefore you have created a solution that speaks so specifically to their problem, they cannot leave the page without moving forward with you.
Yes. Okay. I said I would that was going to be the last thing that I asked you, but I actually have one more question. When you are hiring out for somebody to help you craft that tone of voice that reflects the magic of what you do, what do you think the learning curve is? I know it varies, but on average, that you've seen that it takes to actually get to the root of somebody's voice and be able to reflect that as a service provider. And any tips on expediting that process?
Yeah, this is a really good question. So, if you want it faster, for example, like if you're somebody who's like, I want to expedite that process, then you're going to want to look for like a more experienced copywriter who's able to draw it out of you. If you are earlier stage, you don't have that budget, but you really want to prepare a copywriter that you are working with who's maybe newer as well, then I want you to kind of like ask those questions that we've already talked about in today's podcast to yourself first. It will be hard for you to answer them if you haven't had that time to think about it before having a conversation with the service provider. So instead of it being like a gut reaction, oh shit, I've got a launch coming up, I better hire a copywriter because I don't want to do all the sales page and stuff, you're not going to have had enough time to really thought about making the most of utilizing that service provider. So just give yourself like half a day to just really sit in those feelings, go back to testimonials, read email inquiries, even if someone didn't sign up as a client, what did they say? What were the DMs that you had from them? And start doing this distilling process. So when a copywriter says to you, oh great, let's write a sales page for this very specific program, what are the pain points? You can say, I can describe perfectly for you a list of symptoms that are going to be exhibited in my ideal client. Don't rely on any service provider to be able to get that stuff out of you. You've got to have a knowledge of it yourself. Yes, a really experienced copywriter will totally be able to help you get there. But like I say, don't rely on it. Feel comfortable and confident in yourself that you do know the symptoms and you also know the answer to so fucking what for everything you're going to list to your copywriter that's included in that program.
I will be re-listening to this episode.
That's the biggest compliment I think I could ever have had as a podcast guest. So thank you for saying that.
I'm going to re-listen to it like every time I write a sales sequence and I'm going to do the exercises. So you're definitely going to want to save this one, people. And if people want to get in contact with you and maybe take the weight of writing their own sales sequence off of their plate, where would you direct them?
Come over to Instagram. We're at By The Way Creative on Instagram or bythewaycreative.com. You can book a discovery call. We can just have a 30-minute chat about kind of where you're at in terms of getting stuck on copy. A lot of the time I get on calls with people and they tell me they're stuck on something. And when we dig into it, it's somewhere else in their copy, actually. So I love kind of decoding where people's copy problems are. So come and have a chat with us. It's at By The Way Creative on Instagram or bythewaycreative.com.
Beautiful. And then two questions we always ask our guests. One, what is your sign? And if you know your sun, moon, rising, we love to know it.
I don't know my sun, moon, rising, but I am a Sagittarius by 31 minutes.
But you would have been a Scorpio otherwise?
Yeah.
Well, you know, cusps aren't real. So you are a Sag.
This is good information for me, to be honest. So yeah, Sagittarius, 23rd of November, 31 minutes past midnight.
Wow. Okay. And why do you do what you do? That's our big question we love to ask on the show.
This is so hard to answer. There's a million reasons, but I think the real core of it is, truthfully, I spent my teens and my early 20s not knowing how to communicate who I was, not feeling proud of who I was because I wasn't able to put it into words. And it's something I don't ever want to see anybody else suffer with. Now I'm able to do those things myself, realize I had that literary talent in me. I just wasn't using it in the right way. I want to be able to like break that out other people as well so they can be authentic. Although we've banned that word in this situation, it works.
It works in this situation. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. Everybody go give Stephanie a follow and we will see you next time on Business Witch.